Hello everyone, this is Brian, and I've got a big old special announcement for you. Today, we at Many-Sided Media are incredibly excited to announce the launch of the Many-Sided Network. That's right, the Many-Sided Network is our podcast network that focuses on spotlighting TTRPG and nerdy podcasts that are telling interesting stories in new and exciting ways. And in that spirit, I am pleased to announce that in addition to My First Dungeon, Talk of the Table, and Bitcherton, we are adding 5 new affiliate shows to the Many-Sided Network. Those shows are Dice Exploder, Maia's Game Room, Tales Yet Told, Dork Spawn, and Mage Hand High Five. And I want to introduce you to all of these phenomenal shows in the best way possible by talking to the creators themselves. So sit back and help me to welcome the first affiliate shows to the Many-Sided Network. Hello, everyone. I am Brian Flaherty, and I would like to introduce you to a new show on the Many-Sided Network. That new show is Dice Exploder. But rather than have me introduce it to you, why don't I just have the host and creator of Dice Exploder introduce it to you? Sam, tell the people who you are and tell us what Dice Exploder is.
It's me. Hi, I'm Sam Dunnewald, and welcome to Dice Exploder. Each week on the show, we take one tabletop RPG mechanic and we break it down as deep as we possibly can. So it's me and a rotating co-host, and it's just like a deep dive process design kind of show on like how are these games that we all love put together, what makes them tick, and what can we learn from them.
If anyone here is listening and they like Talk of the Table, you will love Dice Exploder. Go listen to Dice Exploder if you like Talk of the Table.
Appreciate it, Brian.
As far as Dice Exploder goes, what type of guests do you have on? Can you give me a laundry list of some of the best?
Yeah. So, we've had on like really heavy hitters like Alex Roberts of For the Queen and Starcrossed, John Harper of Blades in the Dark, Jason Morningstar has come on a couple of times of Fiasco and everything that he does at Bully Pulpit Games. But we've also had on like a bunch of like smaller folks and more bespoke stuff. Like M. Acosta is a kind of lesser known designer who is known for Crescent Moon and Exiles, a couple of Blades in the Dark hacks, but who has come on and just given some like incredible conversations, a good friend of mine. And then occasionally I'll do a fun like one-off episode. Like I had my dad on to talk about Thaco.
I love that episode. That was a great episode.
I just thought it was so fun to just do the like, let's do a trip down memory lane and like talk about what it was like for you DMing me when I was in the third grade, And like, there's a lot to learn there. So I don't know. I'm definitely trying to bring in the heavy hitters, but I also think there's so much to learn from people who are less well known in this scene. Like, what do they have to say? And everyone has something interesting to say. So I'm trying to bring on the breadth, not just the heavy hitters. And then I also, like, this spring wrapped up a series on LARP. So I did, like, 12 episodes on LARP and that whole scene. I think that was, like, really fun and really informative. Like, what can we as more indie tabletop people, the show's primary audience, what can we learn from the Nordic LARP world? And so, you know, even if I'm bringing on heavy hitters from the Nordic LARP community, like, no one here knows who those people are. And so, you know, I got a mix there, too, of people who know the like people who are really well known and people who are just kind of playing these games and what their experience is like. So I find all kinds to be really interesting guests to have on.
What I do love about scrolling through the library of Dice Exploder is that every now and then I'll come to a name I really like and I'm like, ooh, I'll learn about this mechanic I don't really know about from this person I really like. And every now and then I'll get to a mechanic I love and not know the guest who's talking about it. And I'm always learning about one new thing at least on every episode, which is great.
That's something I really love about the show is that, you know, you can come at it from both of those interest points of the game or the person.
Love that. For people who are just hearing about Dice Exploder now, or maybe have heard about it, but haven't checked it out yet. Yeah. If you had to recommend one episode for people to start at, what would you recommend?
Go to the start here section of my website. So it's hard to pick just one because I don't know who this hypothetical person is. So I'm going to say if you are a person who's really into like PBTA and Forge in the Dark style games, I did this one with Aaron King from the RTFM podcast about Apocalypse World and Love Letters that I think was like really fabulous and talked about how you can hack those games just for your table and what that ends up looking like. If you're here and just kind of want to like have a bro-y hangout, like fun time, good natured romp. Mikey Ham of Slug Blaster came on and we talked about exploding dice, you know, the namesake episode of the show. I think that was, we really brought out the good natured man energy, come in here, bro, like kind of like hang out at each other. But also there's just like a ton to learn there. And then I think my favorite episode of the show was with Alex Roberts of For the Queen and Starcrossed, talking about pity points from Kagamatsu. This is like an obscure game that Alex loves. It's this romance game, if you're kind of into that, if you're into the more obscure game kind of thing. But we also like went really deep on like, we're both disabled or have been disabled in the past, and like, what is it like to be disabled and like be pitied? Like, what is the nature of love and the nature of pity? And I find that stuff, that to me is the like most beautiful that the show can become, is like, how can one mechanic, one game mechanic spin out in these like really universal, like human conversations, like that's the beauty of the art form, right? Like, that's what I love about the format of the show, is you get there from the specificity of it.
So if the listener can't tell already why we wanted Dice Exploders to be a part of the Many-Sided Network, it's not only all of that, but also the enthusiasm and excitement you bring to the tabletop community.
Yeah, thank you.
So if you like what you hear, go check out any of those episodes, or quite frankly, any episode of Dice Exploder. I heartily recommend the catalog. And we are very proud and very excited to welcome Dice Exploder and Sam to the Many-Sided Network. So go check them out.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Ah, pleasure to have you. The next show I want to introduce you to is Maia's Game Room. Just like my first dungeon, Maia's Game Room prioritizes sound design and immersive storytelling with every episode. But rather than have me tell you about it, let me introduce you to the person who can tell you even more. Maia, welcome to the Many-Sided Network.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be a part of this network. It sounds like it's a cool group of people to be a part of.
I can confirm it is a very cool group of people to be a part of. And we're very glad to have you as a part of it.
Are you saying that because you are a part of it?
I am saying that because you are a part of it. That's right.
Got him. Oh my gosh. That's, oh God, am I staying here forever? My ego.
Well, so I'd love to have you tell the listeners what your show is about. So in one or two sentences, can you tell us what is Maia's Game Room?
So Maia's Game Room is a narrative actual play anthology podcast. And so it features like the short form, like high production TTRPG series. So self-contained stories using different rules light systems to tell immersive character first dramatic type stories. They're like audio dramas and actual plays kind of merged together, I would say.
And this is a relatively new show, but what game are you playing right now? Like, what can listeners look for if they're going to your feed right now?
Currently, they can find the Electric State RPG by Free League Publishing. So I have season one and season two that they can listen to now, and upcoming a lot more.
Why were you drawn to the Electric State? Like, why was that the game that made you excited to play?
Well, first, it was the art by Simon Stålenhag. Like, if you just look at his artwork, and it just moves you. Like, the term art, some pieces like are worth a thousand words. Mm-hmm. It's literally that just speaks to you so much. And so I saw the artwork first, read his narrative art book, and then heard that Free League was making a game. And I thought, this is going to be so awesome. And I just love like sad, bleak, like Last of Us-esque stories that tell like deep character-driven stories where you're just like a regular human doing your best in the world. In a world, especially, that's kind of like a slow creeping apocalypse type story.
I know I mentioned that this is a relatively new show, and I feel like I only discovered it a couple of weeks ago. and I put it on, and I was immediately like, we were starting to look for shows to add to this network.
Yeah.
And I listened to I think a part of the first episode, and I was like, oh, this person gets what we do. like this person is down with the vibe.
Yes, exactly. I was inspired by what's the show with Brendan Lee Mulligan, his podcast?
Worlds Beyond Number.
Yeah, so I listened to that and got heavily inspired by like sound design. Immediately, I was like, okay, I listened to that. Immediately, I told myself, can I do this? Can I try this out myself? I love Electric State. Let's give it a shot. And I said, you guys will meet up for 5 sessions. I'll split it up into 2 episodes per session and we'll see how it goes. And yeah,
I love that you came in and were just like coming out swinging right out of the gate. I was just like, oh, because I went back recently and listened to some of our first episodes of like My yeah. First Dungeon or previous podcasts. And I'm like, ooh, these have aged poorly in their quality. Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone has also told me that just in TTRPGs in general, I've only been in this space for 2 years and I've tried 37 systems already. And so people are like, oh, okay, I see where your mind's at.
I think that was the second thing that made me realize that like you belonged on this network was I saw the show and I kind of like looked into you and I was like, oh, who is this person? Let me see more about them. And yeah. somewhere on something you listed like all the games you tried out, I think in the last year or two.
Yeah.
And I was like, I run a role-playing game podcast where we try out new systems and this dwarfs my list. Like this absolutely dwarfs my
list. Yes, yes. I just love trying new systems. There is so much out there. I quickly realized that there was more than D&D, even though that was the first system that I was introduced to mm-hmm. and then immediately fell in love with just the space. And I was like, okay, so what else is there? Because I like the role-play and I like improv, so there has to be something else, right? And so it's just been a big snowball since then.
For anyone who's listening, I think people, if you're listening to this, you kind of already have a vibe of what this show is.
Yeah. But
who do you think is your ideal audience member? Like who, if they're listening to this, if I like this, I'll definitely like my Ears podcast.
I would say if you like deep character stories, like audio dramas, but you also like the gamification of like how the dice can introduce unpredictability, then you would really like what I'm producing and creating. Because it's if you like where like the mechanics can get out of the way, we're not spending too much time on role resolution and mathematics and things like that. We're really letting the dice help us just push the story forward and then it gets out of the way once again. Mm-hmm. You'll like what you'll hear.
You're currently on season 2 of Electric State, but I know you have plans for doing a lot of other games in the future. Mm-hmm. What does the future of this podcast look like for someone? If someone gets invested now, what can they expect over the next year, 2 years, 3 years?
Oh, snap. I haven't thought that long. This is just a shotgun idea I had last year. But I am excited because there are so many cool systems out there, so many good stories that you can tell. I want to get more specific in stories. So stories from like specific cultures. So I heard your guys' podcast for Paint the Town Red. I recently saw Sinners, which is also another vampire creative story. Amazing. And I want to do something like that, where it's kind of like a black culture in New Orleans telling their vampire story in the 1920s, where it's jazz. And
yeah.
So those type of stories and, you know, Tales from the Loop. But what you'll always notice are the kind of deep character driven, not too fantastical, very grounded type stories is what I love to play. I love playing like realistic NPCs and things like that. So that's what you'll hear going forward.
I'll be excited to hear whatever you do after Electric State, but
yeah.
I would really like to hear Paint the Town Red in New Orleans. That would be cool.
Right?
I'm not saying you should necessarily do it next. Follow where your heart goes, but if it's that, I wouldn't be mad.
If it's next, I will be first in line. Yeah. But I also want to try something like quirky and silly. Like Flabbergasted is coming up too, where it's just like, it's also set in the 20s, an alternate 20s in a city called Piccadilly. It's just like a comedy, wacky slapstick. And I want to try that because I haven't tried that in terms of like editing, finding the right like little zip zap zingers.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to try something funny like that.
I'm in the middle of editing a very cartoony thing right now. And yeah. It is a very different muscle.
Right? Okay. So I want to test that out. Exactly.
Hell yeah. And before I let you go, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners about Maya's Game Room, or, you know, give us the final pitch of why people should be flicking off of this episode right now and going over to check out your show?
You should immediately stop listening to My First Dungeon. I'm sorry.
All right, you're out of here.
Oh,
you're
sorry.
Out of here.
Darn it. Okay, that's not what he wanted. No, I think you should go immediately to listen to my produced work because it is it's a very good, fun story that I think is very interesting as well. And I think it just immerses you, you know, wear headphones and dive deep into the water of these shows that I'm curating. You're going to have a good time regardless. Listen while you're going on a walk, while you're doing your chores. If you want to get inspired for your own games as well to play the Electric State or whatever you want. But yeah, that's why I think people should go right now and give it a listen. They definitely won't regret it.
I can guarantee that. You will not regret it if you go check it out.
Yeah.
So go check out Maia's Game Room, now a part of the Many Sided Network. And once again, Maia,
woo!
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And moving right along, the next show I want to introduce you to is Tales Yet Told. Tales Yet Told is a phenomenal actual play show that is doing some really interesting things with the form and format of actual play. But rather than have me tell you, let me introduce you to someone who absolutely can. Kendo, welcome, and welcome to the Many Sided Network.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much for having me on. And also, I guess, having me on the network as well. But hey, everybody, my name is Kendrick Okendo, whichever you prefer. I use any all pronouns. And I am the creator and host of Tales Yet Told, which is an award-winning actual play podcast focused on collaboratively telling stories at the intersection of queerness and horror, using primarily indie TTRPGs. But if, you know, one of those AAA ones come by and I'm like, can we make a good story out of that one? Yeah, we'll try it, I guess.
Any tool will do, but I'm looking at the weird tools first.
Exactly. The tools that inspire me to want to tell weird stories with my friends, which is ultimately what Tales Yet Told is. It is a space for me to create the most horrible worlds that my brain can imagine and then foist that upon my players and have them play around in that box, right? We have four primary seasons that carry the bulk of our work, and I think are the most emblematic of what we do and what we're hoping to continue to do and grow on moving forward. And those are Strangers in the Wood, Voices in the Wood, Our Lives in the Wood, and also the sad middle child, Whispers in the Sea, which I personally love a lot. But it also, we've just been doing a lot of stuff in the wood recently. So it has kind of fallen into the, like, we don't talk about it as much because we're not actively doing anything with it. But to kind of sum up generally what these are, Strangers in the Wood is our kind of long form storytelling here of the world of the Sublime County, which is this world outside of our own, but somehow connected to it, where people wander into this magical forest world. You can think of it as something akin to Over the Garden Wall, and they go into the strange world, but rather than like this pastoral Americana, it is like the 80s. But it's like it's a more, slightly more honest 80s than I think a lot of our media tends to depict the 80s.
Yeah, we just want to remember Pong and Atari.
Exactly. Nobody wants to remember the terrible gender roles, the homophobia, that nobody wants to
Ronald Reagan, you know?
Exactly. And so our stories within Sublime County are really trying to engage with what is it like when a world has very strict roles and systems that keep people with it doing certain things within it, whether that is giving people the roles to be certain expressions of certain kinds of gender roles or certain kinds of like work archetypes, even like relationship archetypes with each other. The stranger, who is the controller of this world, goes down and says, hey, you have this role. This is the life you need to be living now within this society for this society to work. And if you follow those rules, you get to have a good life, quote unquote, with this very structured world ruled by an omniscient deity that tells you what to do. And if you don't, he turns you into an animal in the most body horror like way possible.
If anyone remembers Kendo's character from our Wild Sea season or on My First Dungeon, you will remember that Kendo particularly loves body horror stuff. So if that's your vibe, this might be a bit of a show for you.
Yes, 100%. And so we've been using a bunch of different TTRPGs to kind of tell stories in this world, exploring the different aspects of what is it like to live in different roles? What is it like to have to try to figure out who you are despite the role that has been put on you? And then also the consequences of what is it like to watch someone go through this process of having failed to actually live up to the role that has been given to them, and they are having to go through this change. What is it like to both go through that yourself, this alienating, dehumanizing process, and also be around and love people who are going through this? And so we've told this story with Babes in the Wood, first edition, which is what our first season is, Strangers in the Wood. We've explored this story in Voices in the Wood using Void 1680 AM, which was originally a solo game. And then I added 16 more people to tell that story with me. And then in Our Lives in the Wood, which is more of an anthology series focusing on smaller stories in this world. We've played The Time We've Have. We've played Nighthawks by Lex Barrow. We have more and more coming down the pipe, playing Unresolved Sapphic Tension and May You Fish in Interesting Times.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Just all of these games that are really focused on the relationships between people and what does it feel to go and like what is it like to grieve together or even be isolated together. It's very much this space that we're using to tell stories that are about how we try to connect to each other despite the systems and structures of the world not really wanting that to be the case, because the powers that be benefit from that in some way, shape, or form.
So listening to all that, you could probably tell why we were interested in bringing Tales Yet Told onto the Many-Sided Network, because you guys are doing such interesting stuff with actual play. And you're using like all these great indie systems, which is something obviously we champion here, but also just taking it to the nth degree and really stretching to see like, how can we use these games to make interesting stories and also to make interesting podcasts and actual plays. And I've been really enjoying seeing how much you guys are twisting these various levers in ways that we don't necessarily on My First Dungeon, because that's not necessarily like the brief of the show.
Right. Yeah. I think basically what it comes down to is that Tales Yet Told is my space to create the art that I want to be making, right? Tabletop RPGs and collaborative storytelling have been something that have been a part of my life for going on about 12 years now, I want to say, a little bit over a decade. And it's something that I have gotten a great amount of, you know, some of my happiest memories are even outside of tabletop RPGs, doing long form improv and like telling stories with people that I care about. And I think tabletop RPGs create such an amazing structure and also like have the ability to prompt us to tell stories that we normally wouldn't tell, right? Whether that be because of the concept of the game in and of itself or the mechanics of the game allow us to dig deeper than whatever our first inclination would be, right? The randomization of like rolling dice or like having to choose like a prompt that makes you answer a question. It's all of these things that make us have to sit back and check in with ourselves and with each other. What is the story that we're telling together? How do we want to tell it? And what is it about? And because of like all of the mechanics and stuff, it does push us to do things we otherwise wouldn't. And I think that Tales Yet Told is really at its best when we are engaging with the games themselves and the stories that they allow us to tell. And because actual plays are, especially like if you're looking at like actual play podcasts, are just like a hop, step, and a jump away from audio dramas or radio plays and things of that nature. And I like using tabletop RPGs and actual plays to tell stories that I think matter and explore circumstances and scenarios that allow us to spread our imagination and think about what the world can be and how we can empathize with the people around us.
What I really like about what you guys are doing is that, like you said, not only are you allowing the games to kind of push you to become better storytellers by engaging with them fully, I feel like Tales Yet Told, more than a lot of actual plays that I've seen, is pushing back on the games to like expand what types of stories those games can tell. Like, it's a great thing to see designers being stretched in what their intentions were, as much as you are being stretched in what your intentions are by engaging with each other fully.
That's the joy of play.
Which is why I love this show.
Oh, thank you.
If anyone's listening to this right now and wants to go listen to Tales Yet Told, go do it. But Kendo, there's a whole bunch of episodes in your feed right now. Do you have a recommendation on where someone should start if they want to get started with Tales Yet Told?
Yes. So like how I was just going on about all of this stuff about like Sublime County, if you wanted to get into Sublime County, I recommend starting off with Voices in the Wood. It's the most accessible to listen to. If you want to hear the story that created the world of Voices in the Wood, listen to Strangers in the Wood. If you just want a little bit of a taste of who we are and what we do, start with Our Lives in the Wood.
Hell
yeah. And if you just like pirates, listen to Whispers in the Sea.
Got a whole bunch of good starting points for you. Honestly, because everything is pretty good. When you've got a table that's just a great spread of stuff, it's like, where do you start? You make a plate of everything.
Yeah, why not? Start wherever. Pick one. Pick a random episode in the middle of a season, even if you want.
Let the spirit move you, you know?
Exactly.
So that is just a little taste of what Tales Yet Told is. So if you like what you heard, finish the rest of this episode, hear about all the shows we're adding to the network, and then go check out Tales Yet Told. And Kendo, welcome to the Many Sided Network. We're so glad to have you.
Hey, Brian. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here because everybody, all of these shows are so dang cool. And I'm excited to be amongst such brilliant and talented people.
We got only bangers here.
Only bangers. No misses.
The next show I want to introduce you to is something a little bit different for this network. It is Dorkspawn, which is a video game book club. What is that? Rather than have me tell you, let me introduce you to two people who will definitely be able to tell you, Robin and Dylan. First off, welcome to the Many Sided Network.
Hello, thank you so much for having us.
Delighted to be here.
Of course, we're so glad to have you. Can you please enlighten me? What is a video game book club podcast?
Sure. So I, Dylan, have been obsessed with the video game series Dragon Age for about a million years. And I've been talking about it incessantly to Robin for about as long as we've known each other. And then we decided one night that it would be a great idea for them to play it for the first time and then for us to discuss it the same way you would discuss a book chapter by chapter. We would go through the game, play a section of it, and then discuss it, break it down, and then just goof off with each other and turn that into a little show. And we did that for like the whole Dragon Age series. And then when that was done, we were like, well, there are so many other games out there that have heavy choices matter, setups to them that we could do kind of the same thing with. And the first one we thought of was that I have never played the Mass Effect series.
Which, considering how much you love Dragon Age, was a wild sentence for you to say to me. So I was like, okay, yeah. So I love Mass Effect. We're just going to go through all of Mass Effect then.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And like, as of recording, we're like halfway through Mass Effect 2. And it's good. It's when Dylan says, oh, one night we decided to make it, it was truly the most feverish, drunken call where it was like, Dylan walked me through this like online Dragon Age like save creator. And then I was like, why am I doing this? Why don't we just play the game? Why don't we play the game and then record it? And I'm like, oh my God, can we do this tomorrow? and then it was literally like 24 to 48 hours later, we had our first episode. Yeah. And
now we have like a Discord of people who play alongside us and then can chat with each other or with us as we're playing or as they're catching up. Like, you know, they don't have to be alongside us, but it's fun to loop people in on the book club aspect of it.
Yeah, a video game book club has genuinely been something I've wanted since I was a wee lad. and we already have like we're going to do Mass Effect and like Disco Elysium is one of my favorite games ever. So we want to hit that. And then we just like, whilst talking about like, what could we do after Dragon Age? We ended up making like a 2-page document of we could do this. Oh my God, we could do this after. We could do this. And yeah. It's exclusively because we just wanted to find an excuse to goof off and talk to each other.
I feel like this is how all podcasts should be made. Just a fever dream one night, and then you do it immediately the next day. You're just like, I have to do it. We have to make this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Truly.
I'm curious for the first couple of... Because you guys have done both... how many Dragon Age games have you done?
We've done all four Dragon Age games.
We've done all Origins, three Dragon Age games two, and Dragon and Age the Veilguard.
So we've done, Dragon Age Origins 2, Inquisition, and then The Veilguard, which is a separate game not set in the Dragon Age universe. And then we've done Mass Effect 1 and halfway through Mass Effect 2 at the minute.
Yeah.
As you've been doing this and doing this book club, have you felt like a deeper connection to the games, having to like sit back and like actually talk through things?
Yes. Oh my God. We talk about it all the time. When I've played Dragon Age as a series through all the way, more times than I can count on multiple different consoles and platforms, to the point where it had become just like a, the same way you would put on like your favorite movie to go to sleep. Like that's what the game had become to me. When we played it together, it became brand new all over again. Like
that's so cool.
Like I was catching things that I had either forgotten or that I didn't even recognize the first time. It was.
We've had
brilliant.
Full arguments about Dylan's appreciation for certain characters, where like characters that I love that I think are some of the best in the franchise, and Dylan hates so much that they fucking refuse to have them anywhere, and I'm just screaming about them. We have like an hour long rant, I think, of me just talking about one character in Dragon Age,
which is wild because the episodes are about an hour long. It is.
You're describing a monologue.
Yeah, it's just
monologue. I was going Shakespearean with it. It was I chucked in a couple of vowels, and it was great.
And it's an iambic pentameter and everything. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the same way that Solus speaks in Dragon Age Inquisition.
It's the reference I don't get.
Yeah.
But if I listen to Dorkspawn,
You'll understand.
I love this so much. You've talked about it a little bit, but as you go forward with this podcast, what are your plans for the future? Can you give me a couple more insights into other games that you're looking for, that you're hoping to add to this video game book club?
I mean, really what we're looking for is we're looking to keep alive video games where your choices matter, because that way, the thing that has been really interesting so far is discovering the different choices that we both make when playing the games and how that affects our experience with the story and our relationship to it. So we're going to be looking for games that involve a lot of heavy choices. We've talked about, like Robin said, Disco Elysium, the Life is Strange series, some of the, the folks who do like The Walking Dead and the...
Oh, the Telltale franchise?
The Telltale franchise. So any game where choices have an impact on the outcomes of the game is really where we're staying.
The show started because Dylan knew Dragon Age so intimately, and I know Mass Effect like less, but I think we discovered that although I don't know any game as intimately as Dylan knows Dragon Age, I know a lot more games.
That's true.
And it's like we wanted to go in, and then we ended up wanting to go into games that neither of us know and just talking about it fresh.
Sure.
So
yeah.
There's the Pillars of Eternity world, which just
just
came out with another game, Avowed, recently, which is like, Baldur's Gate 3 is one that we're really excited
about. That's
going to
be how you finally crack me on Baldur's Gate 3.
That's how I'm going to get you to like that game. Yeah.
You're going to make me do content about it, and that's what's going to finally get me.
That's how we do it.
I love that. It's very fun. This is a thing that I never would have necessarily thought of, and then the second you told me about it, I was like, of course this is a good idea. Like, of course this exists. This is so cool.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And it is saying, I know that Dylan went into a little bit, but saying like book club, it sounds like, you know, just kind of a throwaway kind of sales line at first, but we do go so stupid in depth about things.
Yeah.
And there are like minor characters. There's a character in Dragon Age Origins that has, like,
I know exactly
two lines
who you're talking about
that
right
now. We talk about constantly because, and also there is this thing of, especially with this franchise that we're doing now, we're doing Mass Effect, and we have done Dragon Age, two games which were competing at the same time in the same company and in the same space.
And we're learning from each other. They were taking aspects from one another as each game came out.
And it's like we are now talking about other games as they relate to Dragon Age. So
yeah.
It was like Mass Effect 1 came out, then Origins came out, then Mass Effect 2, and then Dragon Age 2. And there are things that each game does and they take from each other and inspired by each other in some way. That
yeah.
It's now we're trying to relate everything back to Dragon Age. And it's easy.
Which, Brian, I don't know if you know this, but Dorkspawn is a specific joking reference to Dragon Age. And so when we started to think about keeping the podcast going after the series was over, we were like, do we need to rename the podcast? And I was like, no, we'll find a way to tie every single video game back to Dragon Age, in every episode.
The web will get more complicated, but the shape remains the same, damn it.
Exactly. Yeah, you get it.
Well, I'm very excited to see all the threads that this podcast takes over the next months and years. For anyone who is listening and wants to get started into Dorkspawn, do you have anywhere you'd recommend that they start?
I mean, it's kind of what, if you have played either the Mass Effect franchise or, you know, Dragon Age, is you can just kind of pick the game that you like the most and be like, oh, I'm going to do that. Or if you want to play along, it's pick one you're interested in. I mean, modern day, yeah. If you want to play Dragon Age, I think Inquisition is probably the easiest place to start.
Even though
I think Origins is one of the best to ever do it. Mass Effect, the Legendary Edition is the easiest thing to pick up. So if you're into sci-fi, you can start with Mass Effect. If you're to start at Mass Effect and you haven't played them, I would say you have to start at Mass Effect 1.
Yes.
Our first Mass Effect episode.
We've had a couple of different ways people have told us they're listening to the show. We definitely have people who play along with us in real time. That's awesome. We definitely have people who are new to the show, who are starting up a new play of Mass Effect and starting over at episode 1 of the Mass Effect series. And I've had at least one person tell me that they have never played Dragon Age, don't really have an interest in playing the really old games because of either just like they don't have a lot of technical support anymore and the graphics are kind of outdated and bad and things that I understand. And so they listened to us talk through the first two games and then started their playthrough of Inquisition, which is a newer game. So, and then they don't feel like they're completely lost and left out of the lore of the story. So that's definitely different ways that you can get into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you like what you're hearing, go and check out, listen to the rest of this episode first, finish this episode, and then go check out Dorkspawn, wherever you get your podcasts. And Dylan Rahman, welcome again to the Many-Sided Network.
Thank you, Brian.
And the last show I want to introduce you to is Mage Hand High Five. It's an incredible actual play show that's doing a lot of cool stuff. But rather than have me tell you about it, let's talk to the people who make the ding dang thing. How about you guys introduce yourselves? Tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Max Weinberg.
Hey, I'm Rowan McStay.
Robin Langenhop.
And I'm Casey Pappas.
And you collectively are Mage Hand High Five. Rowan, what is Mage Hand High Five?
We are an actual play made up of a core cast of four actors from different parts of the country who are exploring genres not always explored in tabletop. So we're pretty much doing a lot of things outside of high fantasy fare. We're taking 5e and other systems and moving them outside high fantasy and into like genre twists and spins that are a little bit different from what you normally see. So we are currently doing a 5e gritty fantasy Western epic. And we've also done everything from summer camp slashers to silly goose conventions mm-hmm. with Elliot of Many-Sided Media mm-hmm. And a lot of different things in between. So we do a lot of genre play. And Casey, do you want to tell us about the Badlands?
Sure. It's a fantasy Western with themes of how do you return home when it's not really there anymore? How do you stand up for friends? How do you survive a capitalist hellscape?
Valuable information.
We all want to know that one, baby.
How do you be gay in a capitalist hellscape?
Yeah. And at the moment, our players are embodying different characters pulled from fantasy westerns, but hoping to expound upon themes that are open to everyone, and are at the moment fighting a large capitalist corporation that is seeking to overtake the world. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far.
And that's the Badlands, baby. The Badlands.
The Badlands.
The Badlands. You guys are making such cool stuff. You're multi award winning at this point.
Thank you.
Incredible sound design. Lots of amazing original music in each episode. Robin, can you tell us a little bit more about what is in store for the future of this show? Where do you guys hope to go in the next like year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Ooh, absolutely. We have a lot of smaller campaigns that we're going to hop into sprinkled throughout. We've got a little corporate espionage end of the world story coming up before the end of the year. But once we finish up the Badlands, our next big campaign is going to be a pastiche of the House of Mouse, the giant rodent run corporation that we all know and love.
Very fun.
With princesses and castles and fantastical multicolored adventure in store. Very excited to get deeper into that one.
Decidedly different vibe from Badlands.
Big time.
I don't know. We could make it work.
There's
we could
still
make
a it thread work. Of capitalism in there somewhere.
That's
capitalism continues to be the bad guy.
You'll still see the Found Families strong ensemble cast. Extremely queer stories are, and some PG-13 level humor, as much as we've had in the Badlands already.
I think the undercurrent of all of this is just queer anti-capitalist silly storytelling.
Yes.
that's a tagline right there.
Yeah.
We really make a point of striking that balance between we are actors telling you a story and giving that experience of sitting down at the table with friends who are playing a game together. We're always about trying to thread that line.
I love that. And you guys do it so, so well.
Thanks, bud.
Well, thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
Max, for people who are hearing this now and are interested in the Badlands and interested in Mage Hand High Five, I'm assuming episode one is the best place to start, but where would you recommend people start with Mage Hand High Five?
Yeah, you can absolutely start with episode one. It's the first episode we ever put out. It was the first actual play that we ever made, so we were still kind of getting our feet wet a little bit. And so if you want to pick up where we really kind of settled in, we have arc recaps every about 7 to 10 episodes or so that are also fully produced and in the Badlands world. So you can hop into any of those if you want to catch up right at, you know, where we're releasing new episodes.
The arc recaps are all like newsreels from the villains that are heavily propaganda focused.
Yeah. And there's always an ad in the middle for that villain corporation.
Yeah.
So it's always been really fun. But yeah, the beginning after any of those arc recaps are really good places to start.
We also just did two episodes with Jasmine Malavay, episodes 37 and 38, which were designed specifically to be able to be listened to if you have not listened to any of us. So if you want to like really jump in right where we are right now, start at 37. If not, hey, go back to episode one. Who knows?
Episode one. It's always a good place to start. But hey, just pick random and pick an episode. You're going to have a good time, I promise.
Yeah.
So I'm sure people who are listening to this are like, okay, Mage Hand High Five, Badlands, Western, sound design, original music. If there are comps in pop culture, like if I like this, then I will like Mage Hand High Five. If I like this, I will like the Badlands. What would you say those are for people who are listening right now?
I had a lot of inspirations coming into Badlands for fans of Dark Tower, Stephen King's Dark Tower series, Fallout, whether the video games or the series that came out not too long ago. For fans of Borderlands.
Sure.
The video game, not the movie.
Yes, of course. What movie? It doesn't exist.
I would also say, just in terms of general vibe, if you enjoy queer storytelling, if you enjoy very punchy satire, I guess, like we don't really try to pull a lot of punches. And one thing that people have sort of jokingly referred to as like Mage Hand mood whiplash. So a lot of things that are just really funny till they're not and really not funny till they are. If you like a quick mood shift, we are much more focused on the narrative and like telling a good story than we are on necessarily being like a comedy podcast or a dramatic podcast. Like we're more invested in the storytelling than, you know, eliciting some kind of like comedic or dramatic feel.
And for those of you who are already fans of actual play, I would say we are closest to Not Another D&D podcast, except a little bit gayer and a little bit more story focused.
A little bit gayer.
Yeah, that feels true.
Well, listen, there's no better way to end this little interview than right there. So if you like what you're hearing, go check out Mage Hand High Five wherever you get your podcasts. To all of you, welcome to the Many-Sided Network. We're so glad to have you here.
Thanks. Very we're excited. So excited. We're excited.
And hey, how about a high five? But you probably have some outro that's better than and more necessary than that.
I actually haven't come up with an outro, so this is just going to fade out with some music, and then I'm going to record an outro later. And maybe I'll keep this part in that explains that. And maybe I'll even keep this part in that explains that, explaining that. And then it'll just slowly fade out as we go slowly and slowly. So that's the news. You now have 5 great recommendations for your next favorite podcast. Congratulations. I hope you all enjoyed this little peek into the new shows on our network. All of these shows are so fabulous and wonderful, and we count ourselves so lucky to have them as part of the Many-Sided Network. So go listen, follow them on social media, leave them a 5-star review on your podcast player. Any little bit helps to uplift these awesome, awesome shows. And this is just the beginning for the Many-Sided Network. Over the coming months, we plan to add even more shows and introduce you to even more amazing creators. So be on the lookout for that. But until then, just remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
You like us. You really like us. At least, I assume that you do, as you've listened to every minute of this episode. And yet you haven't already left us a 5-star review? Ugh. Well, what are you waiting for? Get over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave that review now. It's always wonderful to hear words from our adoring fans. Getting more ratings helps people find the show and love it as well. And we love to hear your nice words. So head over to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and leave us that 5-star review. Ta-ta!